David Reske, CEO of NowSpeed Marketing, and welcome to this edition of In the Now, where we focus on uncovering the myths and misunderstandings of marketing and leadership with some of the world's most interesting people. And my guest today is Henning Schwinnum. Henning is the co-founder and managing partner of Vendux, which focuses on helping companies grow sales leaders. Henning, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Great to be here.
Yes, I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to this conversation. I think a lot of companies struggle with what you are an expert in, which is growing sales teams and growing sales leaders. So I'm looking forward to a great conversation about this. And as you know, I like to start these conversations with a Mythbuster question. And the issue you and I have been talking about is about money and how to compensate salespeople, which is always an interesting subject. And so the myth I wanted to ask you to kind of explore with me is that that straight commission is really the best way to compensate salespeople. Is that true or not true?
Well, it's not true. It's not the best, and it's most certainly not the most common form of sales compensation. In the US, only about 11% of all salespeople are on a straight commission plan. The rest has a mix or is on a fixed salary. There are more salespeople in the US on a fixed income, on a fixed salary, than there are on a commission basis. And the vast majority is somewhere in between. And that tells you something about, you know, where the overall the industry is leaning and how a mixed model is also a model of shared risk and shared rewards.
Interesting. So let's just talk about the idea of the straight commission. It feels like the straight commission model is not invented by the salesperson, but maybe invented by the employer because they're trying to lower their risk and they're trying to get as much as possible. And maybe there's a lot of motivation for the salesperson. Are there cases where a straight commission sales plan is optimal for both parties?
I'm not sure I would even call it optimal, but it's a good, solid plan in areas where you have a proven process, a proven product, a proven way to market. A good example are insurance sales. Late in the year, the period comes around where people can switch insurance, and you have all these companies calling you to do so. And that is a very proven process, a proven product. It's an established success rate. And there is data that a company can share with a salesperson that says, you know, on average, our salespeople close this many deals on these many attempts, and that's the income they can generate from it. And that is a way where there is a sense of fairness in it, because there is a track record the company can point to. Whether it's the best system to apply, I would even doubt that, because there is something to be said for meeting basic needs through some form of base salary.
So let's explore that case a little bit further. So you've got a company that's got a proven process like insurance, and they're going to expect a certain sales rate, and they put the salesperson in a situation where they're going to be selling in that environment, and they offer a straight commission. Now, they probably have to pay a pretty high commission in order to entice people to take a zero salary and yet get paid well for it. Does the employer actually end up losing in that case because they're overpaying because they have to pay these high commissions in order to entice it more than they would in a salary situation?
No, I don't think that companies ever run the risk of overpaying. They definitely make sure in any commission plan that there are all kinds of so-called clawback verbiage where they can go back and call a certain sale a windfall, or they can go and tighten the territory. I think the company is always in control. And from a salesperson's perspective, that is one of the big risks that they run. You work really hard in sales, And now you have this really big opportunity that would guarantee a great payout. And there are so many cases where now companies try to backpedal and try to, you know, all the way to firing the salesperson on some made up ground just so they don't have to pay the commission. So I think companies are always in control. And it's actually not so much the percentage of commission that matters. If you scout around in the internet, you find a great variety of rates where people say it has to be 5% or 10%. I've seen plans where it's 2 or 3%. I've seen plans where it's 50 and more percent. The question is always percent of what? And if you can, and what companies should do and what salespeople should do is define the what really well, understand the what really well, because then you can make a calculation, determine your on-target earnings. So if I do as well as I should, because that's my goal or plan, and as well as others on average do, then this is my on-target earning. And if that is within the realm of the industry, of the seniority of the person, then the percentage is secondary. It's part of a formula, but there is no right or wrong when it comes to percentage.
Interesting. So let's just talk about that case of the windfall, right? So the company says it's a straight commission plan, unlimited earnings, and the salesperson gets a big deal and they're about to get something, some massive, the company might try to claw that back. I just heard an interesting story. I read a book called The Fourth Voyage of Christopher Columbus. This is, you know, when did Columbus sail the deep blue sea? What was it, 1492? So the problem you're describing goes way back to then, because Christopher Columbus was promised a 10% commission of anything he got in the New World. He was basically on a commission sales plan. They upfronted some money for the voyage, but then he was supposed to get a commission. And then when he got to the New World, he discovered that, well, the king and the queen discovered that was too good a deal, because he basically was going to get 10% of the Americas, right? And so eventually they put him in prison, forced him to renege on the deal, and they did a clawback, exactly what you're describing. So that situation is as old as Columbus. It happens all the time.
Before him, yeah. I mean, like you asked earlier, do companies give anything away? And the answer is no, because they end up being in control. They end up calling the shots. And as soon as companies feel that they're giving away too much, they change the rules.
So what is it that is motivating companies to do a commission in the first place? And why is this whole culture of commission there? Shouldn't, you know, because if you have an engineer, if you have a scientist, if you have a accountant, if you have all these other professionals, an HR professional, you don't put a portion of their earnings maybe at stake in order for them to do a good job. You hold them accountable. If they don't do a good job, you might let them go. But why is it this culture in sales that's there that it says commission is really the way to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question to ask, and we can break with tradition. We don't have to do what has always been done. All other roles in a company have goals. You're measured in your performance against the goals. Your future, your increases, salary increases, and a small bonus depends on your performance against those goals. But in sales, you know, anywhere between 30 and 70% of somebody's income is directly dependent on their performance. I think there is an element where it makes sense, because if you put the right motivation, the right incentive out there, then people work towards those goals and are motivated by money. Now, money as a motivator alone is really the right structure to have, nor do I think that most salespeople are solely motivated by money. They also look for a good environment in the company, the opportunity to build things, to create things, the a great leader, a great product they can truly stand for. And if those pieces are not in place, salespeople, like most other employees, will jump ship and look for another opportunity.
But do you think, because of the culture of commissions, do you think that the better salespeople are attracted to companies that pay higher commissions? Are you going to get the best people if you don't offer a commission? Or can you just interview through that and find excellent people no matter what your compensation, no matter what, you know, whether you offer the commission or a nice salary, a fair salary instead?
I'm not sure that the quality of the person is necessarily driven by the comp model. I think certain things go hand in hand. If you work for a large corporation with a recognized brand name, you sell an established product that has a need and a place in the market, then as a company, I don't need to put out a huge incentive plan to motivate you to sell, because the selling happens, I shouldn't say with or without the salesperson, but the influence of the salesperson on the sale is relatively small. And that, contrast that to a company without brand recognition, a new product or new service out in the market, and the efforts it takes to sell that are tremendous. And in those scenarios, you want to incentivize a salesperson, because it's also a reward for the effort and for the work they have to put in. It doesn't make that salesperson better than the other. It's a different skill set and a different personality that's required. And the comp models fit those personalities and fit the scenario. And to me, that is perfectly all right to do it that way. But then there are these the companies who come and look to put a certain comp model in place when it really doesn't fit the way that they're selling. So for example, when companies merge, you have one established brand name and one new sales, the company who needs to sell real hard. But because now they're under one roof, the company often looks to apply the same compensation model and the same incentive model. And that doesn't work. Also, when you don't have some of the criteria in place that allow you to really work well on a large share of commission, like if you don't have an established process, if you don't have proven product market fit, if you don't have a track record and a history you can point to, and then you say, I want commission only, or I only want to pay a really small base and a large commission, then you end up with a misfit. And the misfit hurts everyone involved. It doesn't just hurt the salesperson who comes in and can't be successful because the foundations aren't there, but it also hurts the company because they didn't recognize what their situation required from a sales compensation perspective. And what ends up happening is they hire and fire and churn through sales reps, thinking that it's the sales reps that are wrong and the sales reps that are bad, when really it's the lack of foundation and a misfitting compensation model. Because the one thing about compensation is you get what you pay for, and you will always find someone to work for whatever model you put out there. So companies who say it's commission only will always find people that are willing to go to work for that. The question is, are they the best salespeople for that particular scenario? And oftentimes they're not.
Interesting. So I want to kind of dive into a couple things you said, because I think you're touching on some really interesting issues there, because we often in sales understand the distinction between the hunter and the farmer, right? So the account person who's just kind of continually upselling or renewing existing accounts versus the hunter who's going after cold calling, getting new accounts. But I think what you're talking about is a little bit different. And I might call it the pioneer who's got no proven process, no marketing, no, you know, brand support, no leads. Give me a business card and I'm going to just be a pioneer. I'm going to find people to buy your product. And then you've got the other company that's got the proven process. They've got the brand, they've got inbound leads, they've got marketing support, they've got all the marketing collateral, they've got case studies, testimonials, they've got all of the stuff, which is a much easier sales process, right? And I think what you're saying is that when you've got the pioneer, people often maybe do the straight commission plan, maybe because they know it's a big risk anyway, and they don't want to risk the money, but they end up churning through people. And it's not necessarily the people's fault. It's really the systems and the process or the lack thereof that's there, right?
And that's the situation that I see most commonly, where it's not about differentiating hunter and farmer. You have companies who have nothing to farm, but need everyone to hunt. And a commission only or a largely commission based compensation puts all the risk on the executive, puts all the risk on the salesperson, and none on the company. And that is, to me, it's just a misfit. Again, you'll find somebody to do it, but it barely works out to end up being a success story. And the question you can ask is, why do you do this to your salespeople? Why don't you do that to your engineers who built the product, who designed the product, right? They up until that point, they got paid. They're not waiting to be paid until there is a sale happening. Neither your accountant or your HR department. So it's in those situations where you look at mostly startups, mostly younger companies who are looking to grow. I think the mindset change that needs to happen here is that they need to understand that sales is not something that pays for itself from day one, but it is an investment, just like anything else in business. You don't just, have instant success with your products, financial success. You have to invest. You have to invest in a technology stack. You have to invest in lead generation. You have to invest in knowledgeable salespeople who have the right level of seniority to be actually selling your product, and who bring the enthusiasm for the business and the company and can convey that to a client in a conversation. All of that is an investment. And while we all look for return out of sales, absolutely, I find founders often thinking that the return will happen almost instantly as soon as you have somebody on your team with sales in the title, and that is just wrong. And if you build a business plan and end up spending all your money on the product and have nothing left for sales and marketing, then that's your fault as a founder or business owner. Business owner, you need to set budget aside to invest in sales and marketing.
It strikes me as almost an immaturity of the business owner who's maybe thinking that way, right? Where you don't invest properly in the people, the process, the systems that are going to help you be successful in sales. And you just assume, I wonder if part of it is because if you've got a leader maybe from a technical background is building this new company, they just assume salespeople are lazy. Hey, if I don't pay them, they don't show up every day expecting to make that next dollar. They're just going to sit around at home, do nothing, or, you know, not make the calls,
so what do
not
your
do the work.
Engineers do, right? Do they sit around? You know, do you check how many lines of code they have written, or how many lines of code they QC'd every day? If you're down to that level of scrutiny, then there is something wrong on your team, and you brought the wrong people in. And the same holds true in sales. Good salespeople take pride in closing deals. And if you incentivize them, you not only run the risk that you're not winning any business, but you also run the risk that salespeople do stupid things in order to fulfill your goals. I mean, discounting a product or giving away services is one of these ways that we see at the end of every month, at the end of every quarter, at the end of every year happening. When companies get desperate, when salespeople get desperate, and now they go out and peddle. And I would argue that even December 31st is an arbitrary date. And whether you sell something for full price on January 1st or at a discounted price on December 31st, in the long run, the company is much better off closing at full price a day or two later, as opposed to trying to push something out just because there is this arbitrary deadline. Now, I know why all of that exists and how that's calculated, but if you were to think about it in the long run, you're much better off as a company because, and now I'm getting on a soapbox regarding discounting, because when you discount that first deal, that's your foundation. And it's an illusion to think that you can just next year, when you come back, you just increase the price. No, your price is down here. That's the starting point. And so that price gets cemented throughout the customer journey. And now you might have closed that deal a few days sooner, but in the long run, you're losing a lot of money. And so incentivizing salespeople also comes with a lot of risk.
So it sounds like what you're saying is, by creating a professional sales organization that's got the right systems and process, supported by an excellent brand, marketing, lead gen, you can really create a professional sales organization that's hitting their goals and being very effective with normal compensation, and without compensating them the way you'd compensate engineers or accountants or others, without having to put a huge amount of their income at risk for the company every year. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. The one sort of grain of salt I would throw in is that companies who just start out, they don't necessarily have a big well-known brand. So you have to take that out. But the mechanics of selling, the success of selling, is not based on starving your salespeople to death by putting them on a commission-only plan. The success of your sales efforts depend largely on a well-defined ICP, on a well-defined sales process, on a well-defined lead source and lead generation process, and then on bringing the right people in who will support those efforts. And I describe this as a top-down versus bottom-up approach, because what a lot of especially tech founders do is they've sold the product themselves, and now they're hiring salespeople, and their process, their messaging, their technology that they pass on is basically how they've done it before. And none of that really works for a salesperson, because they're not the founder. They didn't build the product over the last 2 years. They don't have the title. They don't go to a handful of targets that maybe were friends and family before for the founder. because they go out in the entire market and, you know, start from scratch, cold calling and cold contacting individuals. So it's a very different approach. And so the success, in my opinion, is based on the process, the systems, the structure that you put in place, and the leadership that is being provided. And whether that's a founder, him or herself, or a professional sales leader, it can work in both ways. Key, though, is to have someone that that truly understands the value of process, the value of structure, not the just the value of hustle and trying to turn something into nothing into something without having thought about it first.
Yeah, it's almost like it's a little bit of this, call it the culture of the Wild West or the lone wolf that we value maybe in America sometimes. We want to believe that there's the hero that can just, I've got a tough product, I'm getting out on the market, I get, you know, Susan, and she's going to come in and she's going to save the day. And it's a little bit, we want to believe that that's going to happen. But I think what you're saying, and Susan's going to make a ton of money, we're not going to pay her anything up front, she's going to totally believe this, she's all invested. But what you're saying is that if you don't have the right systems, process, support, lead gen, all the things that Susan needs to be successful, she's just going to burn out. You'll be churning through Susan's every 4 or 5 months. You'll believe that salespeople can't sell, and you'll be wasting probably much more time and money than you would if you just did it systematically.
Yeah. Do you remember the name of the sales leader that Apple had in the 1990s and 2000s?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Susan's name is forgotten because it's Steve Jobs that we remember. Mm-hmm. And it's all him in the general storytelling of the success of the company. And that replicates all across. So don't tell Susan that she will be the hero, because those heroes are very, it's very short lived. Mm-hmm. If you make and exceed your quota, you're the hero next month, next quarter, and you don't make it, you're out on the street. So the end, salespeople never end up being the heroes.
So in your experience, what is the best way to construct a compensation plan? Is it just, the right salary for the right experience? Is there some bonus? Is there some commission? Are commissions appropriate in any cases? How do you think that most companies should be doing it?
Well, I think the blend is the best. And the way you split it, I would say it depends a little bit on where the company is and what is it that you're looking to accomplish as a business owner. And if I go to to the scenario of a proven process and a track record, then it does make sense to have a larger part be commission or success based. But if on the other end of the spectrum, when you bring somebody in and they might be the first professional salesperson in the company, they're doing a lot of foundational work and you want them to do, and they need to do a lot of foundational work. They need to look at the process. They need to look at the messaging. They might have to write some collateral in all of that. And that's something that needs to be rewarded, because if they do it, the company will benefit from it in the long run, even beyond the one salesperson. So there needs to be a larger base component in that. And so as companies mature, you can now expand that and create scenarios and blends that make sense for that particular scenario. And my example earlier of two companies merging and two different scenarios, and all of a sudden they're under one plan. That's the danger. If you start out with a small company, you have a very homogeneous situation. You don't need to think about you know, 14 different comp plans for 14 different people. So it's easier in that scenario. So companies will have to grow quite a bit in order to look at it and say, hey, I need differentiation in my comp plans and in my compensation for sales reps.
Interesting. Last question. So do companies, in your experience, that pay more for their salespeople, whether it's commission or salary, just they pay more, they just value the salespeople, do they grow faster? Do they, you know, if I'm a, you know, young tech company and I'm say I don't have a lot of money, I'm going to pay $40,000 a year for the cheapest salesperson I can get, I'm going to give them this crazy commission plan, or I'm going to pay $200,000 a year for this very mature, experienced person, maybe don't have a small bonus. Do I grow faster if I just pay more for better, maybe better, hire better people?
Yeah. I think the difference, what we have to recognize is that there are just different types of sales scenarios, different products and services. And so the age or revenue volume of a company alone isn't the right way to compare it. What I think you can do is look at very similar companies and then ask the question, what's the return on the investment in talent? Whether it's sales or marketing or HR or engineering. And if you go cheap in your investment in talent, just like if you go cheap in your investment in equipment or raw materials, it reflects on the outcomes. And that would be the main argument to say, pay your salespeople well, because you get the better talent who, once it's in the door, performs better. I mean, the short is you get what you pay for.
Yeah, Henning, very wise advice. I think that that's a very powerful concept and often overlooked when it comes to salespeople, that you're making investment and you should think about the return on investment by getting higher quality people who would say, hey, I really want the worst controller I can get, but if I pay him a lot of money, maybe they'll get really good and lucky and they'll get good at getting that balance sheet done. Like, no one would do that, right? But we often do that with salespeople, right? So getting a high quality team. I just saw a great quote by Steve Jobs in one of his videos. I think it's actually from the 90s, where he talked about his vision of hiring. And he said, basically, he tried to hire the best people he could possibly get. And he found that they were all self-managing, you know, because when you get the great, great people, they know what to do and they want to do it well and they live and breathe getting it done. And it was kind of wise advice. And I think about this conversation about salespeople. If you had amazing professional salespeople that just live and breathe and want to be amazing at it, that's going to be self-managing. They will make it happen. They'll find a way to make it happen. Whereas if you undercompensate and have to manage and, you know, it pay that huge commission, you know, it'll be really hard.
Almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, you look at what kind of talent you bring in, you can almost predict the outcomes.
Yeah.
But people often tend to ignore that sort of basic reality.
Yeah, interesting. Well, Henning, this has been a great conversation, really eye-opening. I'm going into thinking about my own compensation plans for next year, and this is a perfect, maybe I'll change the way I think about our own model going forward, but I really appreciate you taking the time. Oh, if people want to reach out to you and learn more about your organization, your services, how would they do that?
Well, with my name, I'm not even starting to begin to spell my email address. Just go to vendux.org, vendux.org. That's our website, and that's how you can get in touch with us.
Great, and we'll put the link in the podcast itself. So thank you again for taking the time. Great conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care. Bye, dear.